Welcome to today's episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Carrie Flamer Powell, experienced gestational surrogate, former surrogacy agency owner, and founder of Surrogacy Mentor, where our aim is to help surrogates match with reputable surrogacy agencies for a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Marielle, surrogate intake coordinator for Surrogacy Mentor, is not with us today, but I do have a very special guest. I am excited to have experienced gestational surrogate Tasha Burgess with us today. Welcome, Tasha.
Hi, thank you.
So glad to have you. So today we are doing our very first interview with a surrogate podcast where we get to meet an actual real experienced surrogate and just chat with you a little bit about why you became a surrogate, what it was like, and just get the personal experience. So I'm really happy to have you here. And full disclosure to all of the listeners, you actually went through my agency that I founded, which was All Family Surrogacy, for your journey. And I had the pleasure of actually matching you with your intended parents. I'm really excited to hear about the journey and how it went. So let's just dive right in, shall we?
Yes.
All right. So let's start off just a little bit. Give us just some background on you, a little bit about you and your family. And then I just want to know initially, how did you find out about surrogacy and what inspired you to want to be a surrogate?
Yeah. And so a little background on me. I grew up in Hillsboro, Oregon. I moved to Southern Utah in St. George after high school. I've been here about 13 years now, I think. I married my husband in 2009. We had our first baby girl in 2014, and then our second in 2018. So we have two little girls. Let's see what else. Yeah, how I found out about surrogacy. I started out like a lot of people where you hear about surrogacy and there's just a weird stigma to it. Not a lot of people know about it. But I started considering it when I saw a friend on Facebook that I had gone to high school with way back when, and she was a surrogate, and it just sparked that little thing inside of me where I thought, maybe I could do that. I love being pregnant. I love giving birth. But after having two kids, I had this weird dynamic where I felt like I was done raising kids, but I wasn't done being pregnant. And so I spoke to my husband about it. He was, I don't want to say a little weirded out, but it was an odd idea to him, definitely. But he's always been very supportive. And he said, yeah, you can look into it if you want. It's weird, but I'll get used to it if that's what you want to do. So I reached out to my friend who had actually used All Family Surrogacy. And she was kind enough to take some time out of her day and do a FaceTime with me and told me the little bits and pieces of how it works. And so I put in my application. I was breastfeeding my second child at the time. So we held off a little and all the bumps in the road, but eventually we were able to get cleared and matched right off the bat. And you did a great job matching us. So,
oh, thank you. I love matching surrogates. It's one of the best parts of the job. So I want to go back to a couple of things that you said. And one of them was about your husband being weirded out by the idea of surrogacy. Extremely common. That happens, by the way, right? Because like you said, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what surrogacy is. And people instantly probably think you want to have a baby that's biologically yours and then give it away. That's not cool. I think it's really great that we're talking about this because people should probably expect that their spouse or significant other are going to have kind of a weird reaction at first because it is something that's so completely different and not well known. So how did you, once you started looking into the process, how did you and your husband continue to build on that conversation and help him become more comfortable with it?
Yeah, I think, once he figured out that it's a fertilized embryo and not biologically mine at all, that definitely helped. And then I think the big shift really happened once we're able to FaceTime with the parents for the first time. And it just progresses as your relationship with the parents progress. I think that goes in hand because once you know whose baby it is and you have that relationship and you get so excited for them to experience what came so easily to you, where they've had to work so hard for so many years to get to this point. So then it turns from kind of, oh, this is a little weird, to I'm so excited to be doing this for them.
Right. Absolutely. And another thing that you mentioned, which I personally experienced as well, and that is actually super common for women considering being surrogates is that you felt you were done having children of your own, but you weren't done being pregnant. And that's a really unique perspective. But it's unique. It's unique in general, but it's not unique to the surrogacy community. Almost every surrogate I've ever known has said that same thing, including myself. So tell me a little bit about that and why surrogacy was appealing in that sense.
Yeah, I don't know. I love being pregnant. I've been really lucky and blessed to have pretty easy pregnancies, not a lot of symptoms. I feel really good through the whole thing. And it probably doesn't hurt that I go into labor at 38 weeks. So I never have to make it all the way through, right? Yeah. Which makes it a little easier. And I love giving birth. It's just one of those really cool, powerful, intimate moments that you don't get that experience any other way in life. Yeah. And then a lot of it too is that getting pregnant and having healthy babies was so easy for us. It, you know, wasn't really even a thought. It was like, let's try having a kid. Okay, here it is. And that happened twice in a row. And then we have a lot of friends who have struggled with infertility, or friends that maybe are in same-sex relationships that have to look at all these different routes to be able to have their own children. A lot of friends who have had miscarriages. And so it was just this burning passion of mine to be able to do something that comes so easily to me for somebody who it doesn't come easy at all.
That's amazing. And you mentioned birth and how amazing that experience is. And I want to make sure later in our chat, we don't forget to talk about the birth photos and your birth experience, because they were like, I've seen a lot of birth photos in my hundreds of matches that I've done over my years in surrogacy, but those photos were so beautiful and just showed the connection that you had with the parents and the happiness that the baby brought. It was just so beautiful. So I definitely want to chat about those. But first, let's talk a little bit about, we talked a little bit about how your spouse reacted to you wanting to be a surrogate. What about family and friends? How did they react? And did that reaction change from the initial idea of it to now?
Yeah, I think I've been really blessed to have wonderful people in my life. My family, my friends, my husband have all been very supportive, very loving. So I think they all had the initial reaction of, oh, interesting. Okay, then, but we'll support you. And yeah, the further I got into it, I feel like everybody's really excited about it now. And even when I go over to my friend's house for game nights or something, the second new people show up, she's like, she was a surrogate.
So they want to show you off.
Yeah. Everybody gets excited to share about it. So
that's really funny. What about your kids? How old were they when you started the process, and were they old enough to understand or be involved at all?
Let's see. So I think my youngest was barely three, mm-hmm. I want to say, when I started mm-hmm. the whole journey. So the baby was actually born 3 days after she turned four.
Wow.
And then my oldest is seven now. So she was barely six when I started the journey, I think. Yeah. And they reacted pretty well. I think they're young enough that they don't have that age of having the weird stigma about it or having too many questions. So an easy time to integrate it into their minds. Also, all families sent out the little care package when you get started after the transfer. And it has this cute little book about the kangaroo who has a pouch with her own kangaroos. And then the neighbor kangaroo couldn't have any babies. And so she carried their kangaroo in her pouch for a little while. And so I think that book helped visualize it for them.
Yeah. So that book, we started sending that book out very early on to help the kids of the surrogate understand the process. And it's called The Kangaroo Pouch, if anyone wants to check it out. And my daughter was about two and a half by the time the baby was born. And that I remember her telling people, that's not my brother. That's a baby my mom's carrying in her pouch.
Oh,
so she really did integrate it. Like, she understood it. So I'm glad that helped your kids as well.
Yes. Yeah. And they, it was really cute watching them throughout the process too, because as we would FaceTime with the intended parents, they built this connection with our kids as well. And so they would get really excited and talk to the baby and rub the belly. And then after giving birth, they were able to hold him and everything too. And they were just so excited to see them as parents too. So it's really cool to show them this unique way of serving other people too. So
absolutely. Such a great example of service, really, and love in a different form than you'd probably ever be able to show them in any other way.
Definitely.
That's awesome. Okay. So tell us about your surrogacy experience. And I know that's a very broad question. So we talked about the fact that you did use an agency, which was All Family Surrogacy, which I'm completely biased and so are you, but I completely recommend know what they're doing. And then, so let's talk about the screening process. What did you have to go through as a surrogate and how long did that take to get screened?
Yeah. So the first thing I remember is doing the medical screening, which is just the really basic, go to the doctor and make sure you're healthy enough to be pregnant again. And that one I thought would be the breeze for me because I've always been really healthy. But when I got the exam, I actually had precancer on my cervix. Mm-hmm. And I had no idea. I wouldn't have found out, I don't think, until years later. So it's a blessing in disguise.
Yeah.
In that sense that we found it. So it wasn't a big deal at that point. We just were able to remove it. And then I was set on a wait list for 6 months while after having the surgery. So once I was cleared, then the timing was a little crazy and it was COVID. And so things were, let's pause for a minute and see what happens, which at that point I started going, maybe I won't do this. Maybe the whole reason that I wanted to do surrogacy was so that I would find the precancer. And maybe that was the purpose of me wanting to do this journey. But very quickly after that, my mind just kept going, no, you need to do this. You need to do this. Yeah. So I finished the rest of the pre-screening and the profile. And I want to say within 24 hours of finishing our profile, we got the email that was like, we have the perfect family for you. And maybe a day later after that, we Zoomed with the family and both sides of us were like, yes, this is perfect. And on the Zoom call, we were both like, okay, let's sign the contract. And all family was like, wait, let's email each other first and make sure we're ready.
Yeah, let's slow your roll. And I had forgotten that, I try to remember every journey, but I had forgotten that you'd been put on the wait list for 6 months because you had that precancer. I think that's such a good point to bring up, is that not every journey is everything's going to go perfect. And I think women sometimes think, oh, I'm going to be a surrogate. I'm going to sign up today. I'm going to get pregnant in a couple of weeks. And then I'm just going to have a baby in 9 months. And while we do as agencies try to make it as easy on you as possible and get you through the process as quickly as possible, it's definitely, I think, fair, and you can tell me what you think, but I think it's fair to say that to be a surrogate, you've got to be really committed to a pretty extensive process before you ever get pregnant.
Definitely. Yeah. I think you have to expect these unexpected things to come up almost. Yeah. So, yeah. But I think it's a good thing too, that it took longer time. Because I can imagine if you just had this idea, signed up and got pregnant a few weeks later, I don't know that like emotionally that would be super healthy to go through. So it's nice to have this long adjustment period. And in that time, we're able to get closer to the IPs and be more comfortable with the whole process and just right. Really start to get our feet wet instead of just diving in the deep end.
Definitely. So you met the parents on Zoom, decided you liked each other, and then you guys had a legal contract process where you each worked with attorneys and worked out all the terms of your agreement. So what was that legal process like for you?
Definitely a hurry up and wait. I think at that point you're so excited and both sides want to just get going and we're like, when do we start the meds? When do we get this going? And that's a really good thing to go through the process slowly and make sure you have all your bases covered, especially if you were to not be as close with the IPs. I think every situation and relationship is a little different, but it's definitely a good thing to go through and get those contracts nailed down the right way. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Super important. And we talked about this, Marielle and I talked about the legal process. And I also did an interview with a surrogacy attorney and talked about the legal process on another podcast. Listeners haven't listened to that, they should, because it really gives you some insight into why it's so important to have a solid legal contract in a surrogacy, even if you love your intended parents and they love you and everyone's super excited, you've got to anticipate all the legal things around a surrogacy. And there's a lot, right?
Yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah. So legal process, and then you went into your medication cycle. How was your medication cycle and what kind of medications did you have to take?
Yeah. So the med cycle was, Let's see, I started off with just those little belly shots. Well, I guess I should back up. Before that, they like to regulate the cycle. And so we started birth control on the pill, which I don't do great on, but it was a short amount of time. So did the pill, I think, for a month or two to regulate my cycle. And then they have the specific days you can start medication on in your cycle. So we started the shots that go in your abdomen, just the under your skin. Yeah,
Lupron.
The subcutaneous. So we did those, and that was, I can't even remember if it was once or twice a day. I feel like it was morning and night. And then
lots of shots.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, lots of shots. And I was terrified at first, but I'm also a very independent person. My husband's, do you want me to help? And I was like, nope, this is me. I'm doing it. So that first day was terrifying. And then afterwards, it wasn't that bad, and you hardly feel them, and you really get in the swing of things. And then I started the intramuscular shots in the back hip area, and that was, I think, once a night. Just once a day.
Yeah. Thankfully, once a night, because those are the big ones, right? That's the progesterone. Those are the
big ones. And at least they start in smaller doses. And as they get bigger, you slowly adjust to them. And those ones, the injection itself didn't hurt. What I ended up doing was just icing a few minutes beforehand. And then I didn't even need to numb it because you really don't feel it at all. And then, yeah, I think the hardest part about those were just because it's suspended in such thick oil. For me, the only part that was painful about the injections was just when you got to those higher doses and there's just that big knot of oil. And so I would sit on a heating pack, rub it out, and roll on a foam roller and trying to get those knots out. But yeah, they weren't really that bad. So we did that for about 10 weeks, I think. And then, so my journey was unique. So it was, we started those in November, I think. And then the embryo transfer was scheduled for the beginning of January, and 3 days before the embryo transfer, I went to take my COVID test to get approved for travel, and I had COVID and I didn't know it.
Oh no.
And so I even was like, there's no way this is real. So I went to a different testing site and got retested, and sure enough, so we had to obviously cancel all the plans, cancel the transfer, cancel the med cycle, which at that point, the intended parents and I both agreed it would be a good point to pause and take a couple month break. And then after that, we started the med cycle up again, and the transfer went smoothly. Luckily, I didn't get COVID again. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's the timing on that.
Yeah. Going through surrogacy without COVID in the mix, and the pandemic and all those complications, it's an interesting and sometimes difficult and stressful process. But adding COVID to the surrogacy process has just been absolutely crazy. And it tells me how strong of a bond that you and your intended parents had, and how strong of a commitment each of you had to this process, that you came up against that hurdle, which was massive, and ended up still going through it. I had to take a 6-month break during my journey so that I carried for two moms, and their first batch of embryos none took. And so they each had to cycle through egg retrievals, and they wanted to take a break because they'd had a death in the family and there was a lot going on. So we had a 6-month break in between transfers. And I remember how hard it was to stay positive and inspired and focused. So I'm guessing that you and your intended parents felt that same way, but yet you still came back to the process. And why was that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think when you have this common goal in mind and it's such a big life-changing experience, you're willing to do the hard things and you're willing to wait. And then with their story particularly too, they had waited, I want to say like it was 7 years. They've been on their journey of trying to find a way to have their own children. In the grand scheme of things, what's another couple months?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's so amazing. I always say, and I've said this in other podcast episodes, and I'll probably say it again, but I've always said surrogates need to have a soft heart and a tough skin. You need to be in this for the right reasons, but you need to anticipate that some of this is going to be really frustrating, and it's going to take a while, and it's going to be hurry up and wait. And there may be times like you encountered and I encountered where you have to actually stop the whole process And that might be for days or weeks or months, and then get re-inspired to start all over again. And the thing that keeps us hanging in there, like you said, is that common goal and that common dedication to wanting to help somebody else experience the joy of being a parent. And thankfully, that goal is stronger than the frustrations and the heartache and the stress. Hopefully, that's what we hope for.
Yes, definitely.
That's awesome. All right. You had the embryo transfer, which I just interviewed an embryologist recently, and that'll be on a future podcast episode. And we'll hear all about what that entails. But why don't you tell me about the day you found out you were pregnant and how the parents reacted, and then how your pregnancy went? And what was your relationship with the parents during the pregnancy?
Yeah. So in between that break, I was able to go up and visit them, and we met in person for the first time. So that was a cool thing. Yeah. So we were able to have that bond a little bit. And then for the transfer, they flew me up to the fertility clinic where the intended parents live. So we were able to spend a day or so together before the transfer as well. And they're so sweet. And we had a lot of communication beforehand where I felt comfortable enough that they were actually the ones that drove me to and from the transfer, which was really cool. Yeah, the transfer went really smoothly. And when I got back home, you know, they tell you don't take the home pregnancy tests, but everybody
we
does.
We all do it.
Yeah. So I took that on I tried to wait till day five. That's as far as I made it. Yeah, that's fine. And so at that point I had texted the intended parent's friend who lives near them. And we started planning things out. Okay, if the blood test comes back positive, here's what we're going to do. So I had shipped a box to her that had a cute little elephant stuffed animal, which the elephant was like the theme of the journey for the parents. It had a special meaning for them. So we had I sent them like a book with a note that I wrote in it and a stuffed animal and just some little baby things and a picture of a sign I had made that said, "You're pregnant." And I had the friend put those all in a bag. And so once we got the go-ahead that the numbers looked really good, I texted them and she went over to the intended parents' house and they were able to record their reaction too, which was so fun for me to see.
Oh, that's so cool.
It was cute. Yeah.
Obviously they were probably like elated.
Yes. Yeah. The husband's like the quiet in shock. Wow. Personality. Uh-huh. And the wife just, it was really cute. She just fell on him crying and they were just so over the moon that I think it was almost a shock for them. I can't believe it's happening. It's so surreal. So
yeah, because you're right. If memory serves, they were 8 years into their infertility by the time they got to us. So
yeah,
it's a lot of heartache that led up to that moment of finally having some happiness. So I'm getting goosebumps. This is the part that I love about surrogacy. So how did your pregnancy?
The pregnancy went really well. Nausea, I didn't get too nauseous as far as that goes. Just the tiredness mixed with the nausea. You spend those first few weeks laying down a lot and resting, which isn't really too much of an option when you have two kids running around.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said before, I'm really lucky to have easy pregnancies. So I was up on my feet and doing things like gardening and kayaking and all the fun things still. Nice. Definitely COVID made things weird just with all those things. And especially when it's not your baby, you get really nervous that there's so much pressure or a little more cautious than you would normally be just because that's a lot to be carrying somebody else's baby because you feel so much responsibility for it.
Yes.
That
was actually my next question was, I got this question a lot. And I think a lot of people have this question that are probably listening, which is, did the pregnancy feel different to you than with your own kids in terms of emotionally or physically?
Nope. For me, it felt pretty much exactly the same, just minus that really deep emotional bond that you start to form in pregnancies a lot of times. So, you know, you didn't have quite that. So I guess emotionally it was slightly different, but the emotions just shift from this deep emotional connection of this is what we created. This is our baby to this is so cool. What an experience to be able to carry this for someone else. And it shifts from the all those big moments of the first kick or when you start to see the bump, the first thought in your head is, oh, I need to text the parents and tell them I'm so excited to send them a video. And
yes.
So you still get the excitement and everything. It just, for me, it shifted to, I can't wait to show them, or I can't wait to tell them about this.
Right. Yeah. Like you feel all the same excited emotions and moments, but instead of feeling excited for yourself or your spouse, you're excited for the parents because it's their pregnancy, it's their baby. And so you're just like a witness to like the firsthand physical, right, experience, but it's really their emotional experience.
Yeah, definitely. So we tried to include them as much as possible with being a little long distance, but we did get the belly buds, those little, the sticky headphones that you put on your belly. And so we had them record some storybooks on the app, and we were able to let the baby listen to their voice a few times. And
that's so cool.
Involved that way, which was neat.
That is really neat. I love that. Okay. So now we have to talk about the birth, because you had posted some birth photos in our agency Facebook group recently, and oh my gosh, they were so beautiful. And like I said, I've seen hundreds of birth photos. I've been in the room when babies were born. I've experienced a lot, but those pictures really brought a tear to my eye. They were so gorgeous. So tell me about like when you went into labor, how did it work? Because you guys were living in two different states. Like what was that process of all of you getting into a room and then the birth process?
Yeah. So the agency recommends going for the parents to travel to the surrogate about 2 weeks before labor. And luckily the parents were able to come pretty early because the husband works from home. So they were able to be mobile a little longer than some people maybe. But we also were keeping in mind that my pregnancies and labors were really consistent, that I went to labor at 38 weeks both times, 38 plus one and 38 plus two. And so we were like all prepared to come a little early. So I think they came right around when I turned 37 weeks gestation, and we were able to, I was still feeling really good. So we took them on a couple mile hike and showed them some underground lava tubes and all the pretty mountains and stuff here. Yeah. So we did the fun sightseeing for a week or so and spent some time together, did dinners. And then, I went into labor. So at 38 plus two, the parents were like, okay, you ready? Like, is this happening? It was kind of funny. I went to bed and woke up and I thought, gee, this is the longest I've ever been pregnant.
Right.
We had that day before we had a doctor's appointment, and they were able to go to the prenatal with me, which was so fun. But yeah, they were able to be there. The mom was actually able to feel the head through my belly, which was really cool. And he was head down and everything. And I wasn't super progressed, but that can change, you know, really quickly, obviously. Yeah. And then that night after the doctor's appointment, I had gone into labor about 3 a.m. So I called them and let them know, and the parents were half awake all of the night. And I said, you ready to have a baby? And they were like, wait, are you serious?
Oh my gosh. So wait, so you went into labor at 38 and one, 38 and two, and 38 and three?
Yes.
That's so cool.
My water broke spontaneously. All three times were at about 3 a.m. Oh my
gosh. You're really consistent.
And then the weight of the babies were 6 pounds. The weight of the babies were 6 pounds, and then 6 pounds, 3 ounces, and then 6 pounds, 6 ounces.
That's
so
insane.
The consistency of the timing of the weight, it's just really funny.
Awesome. That's so cool. Okay. So you called and woke them up in the middle of the morning, and then you guys all went to, was it a birth center?
We went to the hospital. Yeah. We were wanting to do a birth suite because I've done home births with my two children, and they were actually pretty keen on the idea with surrogacy. You have to play by the rules a little more and be a little more cautious. And so we chose to do a hospital birth with a midwife. So we found one that was about 45 minutes north of where I live that we like a lot. And she did an amazing job. We love her. Yeah. My contractions were really inconsistent and mild at this point anyways. So it's that odd moment where you're like, I know this is happening and it's going to get intense eventually, but right now it's just so chill, cleaning up the house a little bit for the babysitters and getting dressed and braiding my hair. And okay, I think we'll take off in a minute. I think I had two contractions in the car on the way there, but nothing crazy. And so we met up at the hospital. They were staying in town up next to the hospital, about 5 minutes away. Mm-hmm. So we called when we got close and we all met outside and walked in together and went back and got the room. We chose to do the birthing suite in the hospital, mm-hmm. which was gorgeous. It had the chandelier and a king size bed. And
wow.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And then my IPs were so thoughtful and brought bouquets of flowers and they brought some flameless candles and we had our photographer was amazing. It was Tia Stout. She's in Southern Utah and she brought some flameless candles as well. And she's also a doula. So she had a dual purpose there, which was neat. And we feel really lucky that we were able to have both the parents and the videographer there.
Yeah. So, that's amazing. Yeah. Especially during COVID, because there were so many restrictions at the hospitals. Like I remember at one point our surrogates couldn't even have their spouse in the room during delivery in the beginning of COVID. It was so awful. And then we had intended parents waiting in their cars in the parking lot of the hospitals because they would only let one person in the room at a time. So the fact that you guys all got to be in one big room with extra people is like amazing. That's so neat. And so how long did you labor?
I think it was 12 hours. So things were pretty slow. We all got to nap for a little bit, which was much needed. Just had that really serene, quiet few hours. And mm-hmm. I want to say by around noon, somewhere between noon and two, I don't pay attention to time when I'm in labor. Sure. Somewhere between noon and two, things started getting intense and the contractions were close together. And I gave birth at, I think it was 4:25, somewhere around there. So yeah, things started getting a little more intense and the parents were so perfect at sitting back and watching and staying out of the way, but also kind of being involved when it was appropriate and having those intimate moments during the process was really neat. So
yeah,
I labored in the tub a little bit and on the birthing ball and everything. Yeah. The coolest part was the midwife was just amazing. We used Josie Jensen mm-hmm. and she actually pulled the mom over because we had talked about the possibility of her catching the baby mm-hmm. beforehand. And so when I started pushing, she grabbed the mom and was like, catch your baby. So wow. She was actually able to catch her own baby, which I think is a really cool thing to be able to do when you can't have your own kids.
Absolutely. And there's several pictures of that whole process that you just mentioned where the parents were involved, but also some pictures of them sitting back and just observing. But then there's also a really amazing photo of your intended mother catching the baby and just crying and like the look of joy and shock and amazement and all the other things you can think of in her face just comes through so clearly.
Yes. Yeah. The photographer did an amazing job and that was hands down the moment I had been waiting for the whole process. That's that one light at the end of the tunnel where you're like, this is why I did that. Just over the moon that we were able to have that captured in a video and a picture.
That's so great. And you said something that just about every single experienced surrogate has ever said to me, which is I do it for that moment when I watch them become parents. Like that one moment, like the whole journey is amazing. Our relationship is great. Love staying in touch with them and the baby, but it's that one moment where you literally get to experience watching someone become a parent that maybe never thought they would ever have the chance to be. And that you were a piece of that puzzle. It's an experience that you can never replicate.
Definitely. Yeah. It's really cool. And you feel really honored to be a part of such an intimate part of somebody else's life
mm-hmm.
and in that really neat experience.
That's so neat. Well, it's a shame that this is a podcast and that we're not able to share the photos. Obviously with surrogacy, there's a lot of confidentiality and privacy and we don't use names or locations or anything unless all parties have given written consent. But I can just attest that the photos of this birth that I saw were just as beautiful as Tasha describes it. So talk to me about your relationship now. What is your relationship like with the parents and the baby and your family and the baby? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's perfect for us. I think every journey has a different spectrum of normal and where they are comfortable being. So I know some people don't have a lot of contact or some people are just like sisters. And so I love where we're at. We're able to talk a lot. So after we came home from the hospital, we had breakfast together. My kids were able to hold the baby. And my mom was in town to help too. And she was actually able to hold the baby mm-hmm. as well, which was so cool because she had come to help me with the transfer. So mm-hmm. it was cool to see her be a part of all of that. Yeah, we've been able to hold the baby and talk together. And I'm currently pumping for the intended parents as well. So mm-hmm. they're able to give the baby milk, which is neat. And so they're constantly sending cute pictures of him growing and he's gaining tons of weight. And it's really cool. Yeah. Oh, what's that?
How old is he now?
Oh, he is, yeah, just 2 months, barely this week. So,
wow. So neat. Yeah. So you live in a different state than your intended parents. So you actually pump the breast milk, freeze it, and ship it to them, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a full-time job.
It's a lot. It's worth it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people ask, is that required of surrogates? And it's not, but it's something that you can definitely do if you and the parents are all on board and want to do that. It's a wonderful, amazing thing to be able to do, but it's certainly not required, right?
Yeah. Something we had talked about like throughout the pregnancy. So it wasn't just an, oh crap, we're here now. What do we do? We had talked about the possibility of maybe nursing those first few days in the hospital. We were able to nurse him for a couple of days. And then I just started pumping right off the bat. And mm-hmm. that's what worked for us. But we also left room in the contract. We left it vague because both sides we were talking about, maybe it's something that might be hard emotionally. Maybe it's something that will help emotionally. So we wanted to leave that part of the journey open to feeling it out at the time and seeing what works best when we get there to thing. And I'm glad we did that. So gives a little room and less pressure.
And that's such a good point to bring up about nursing specifically, because, you know, it can be a controversial topic, right? In surrogacy, like, should a surrogate nurse the baby? Will that create some sort of a bond between the surrogate and the baby? And if there's an intended mother involved, will that create a difficult emotional thing for her? As you said, this is a very personal experience, and that decision is to be made between you and the parents, at whether before or at that time. And there's no right or wrong. It's what's right for you guys, and it's what works for your dynamic. And I think it's beautiful when it can happen, and it's beautiful when it doesn't happen. It's all about a healthy, happy baby and making sure everyone's comfortable. So I think Absolutely. That's great. Yeah, that's really neat. So tell me, what would you say, or is there any advice that you would give to women that maybe are listening to this podcast and thinking, maybe I could do surrogacy? What would you say to them about taking that leap from thinking about it to actually like applying and starting the process?
Yeah, I would say if it's possible to find an experienced surrogate, and if you don't know one or don't know how to find one, definitely ask the agency, because I'm sure they're more than happy to find somebody who can speak with you. And I know All Families is really good about hiring people with actual surrogacy experience, so I'm sure most of the employees could even speak to them. But I think that would be the biggest helpful thing to do. And that's what helped me get my journey started, is just to speak to someone who has been through it, mm-hmm. so that you know what to expect. You get your questions answered correctly, because I think that's a lot better avenue to go than to be just Googling things. And the information might not be as accurate through internet searches. Hearing somebody who has experience with it, and also hearing the passion they have, and just, you're not going to get that part through internet searches. So I think that's a lot of what sparks that passion or excitement, is to hear somebody who's just so excited that they were able to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And you're right. So myself and Marielle, who's our intake coordinator, between the two of us, we've done 4 surrogacy journeys. And so we definitely talk to women all the time about our personal experience. And then with my years of experience having run an agency, I have hundreds of surrogates that I'm able to refer for conversations if needed. So I think you're right. If someone's able to reach out and ask us or whomever about talking to a surrogate, that's a great way to really get that firsthand experience. But I think going from just thinking about surrogacy to actually applying sometimes can feel like a really big bridge to cross for people. And I think the important thing to know, and maybe you can agree with this or disagree, but I think the important thing to know is that if you're talking to the right people, like Surrogacy Mentor or some of the reputable agencies that we work with, they should be able to meet you where you are, answer your questions, and then help you get from step A to step B comfortably, whatever that looks like for you. And if you're talking with someone or an agency or company that's trying to rush you or convince you to do things, maybe like for like money or whatever, that's a red flag, and that it should be all about helping you get educated and comfortable.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's what made it such an easy decision and a smooth transition for me, was because the agency was so helpful in letting me know, this is your journey, you choose the timeline. Like, when you're ready, you let us know and we'll be here every step of the way. And you're ready to go. And then you have these questions like, wait, can you answer this first? And everybody was always more than happy to say, yep, here's the answer to that question. That kind of made things smoother.
I am just so happy, again, having been the one that matched you with your parents, I'm so happy to have been able to see it finally all come to a conclusion and a happy ending, and not even an ending, a happy event that now continues into a completely different type of happy event, which is this great relationship that you get to have with the parents and watching this little boy grow. And I'm just so excited for you guys and just so appreciative that you are willing to share your story with us today.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. I love talking about it.
Yeah. I love it. Thank you. And hopefully this has answered, you know, some questions that people might have about what a surrogate really goes through and how she feels about the process. Just really great to chat with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. So that brings us to the end of this episode of the Normalized Surrogacy Podcast by Surrogacy Mentor. I'm your host, Carrie Flamer Powell. I want to again thank our very special guest, Tasha, for joining us for this chat today. Be sure to check us out online at surrogacymentor.com if you're interested in knowing whether surrogacy might be right for you. Take our 2-minute easy quiz on the website, and don't forget to subscribe to this podcast to learn more about gestational surrogacy and how to have a safe, ethical, and enjoyable surrogacy journey. Talk to you next time.